They say when a baby is born, so is a mother. But while you are there to help your baby grow into the person he or she is meant to be, who is there to help you? Many women feel lost and alone when they become mothers, wondering, who am I now? Sometimes it feels like the transformation from woman to mother is as radical as a caterpillar's transformation into a butterfly. Did you know that inside the chrysalis, the caterpillar literally turns into goop before it rearranges itself into a butterfly? This podcast is about the goop, what soul transformation looks like as you transition from being a woman to a mom. Your baby's growth matters, but yours does too. You're not alone. I'm your host, Brittany Ming. Welcome to the Motherhood Metamorphosis.
Welcome everyone to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. My name is Brittany Ming, your host, and today we're talking to Dr. Michaela Albertson. Michaela is a board-certified family practice doctor, author, and well-being advocate who is passionate about women's health and healing in the middle of our messy, ordinary lives in the imperfect bodies we actually have. She is the author of the book Ordinary on Purpose and continues to inspire readers every day to stop striving for perfect lives or some unattainable cultural ideal of beauty and wellness, and instead aim for wholehearted living through a gentle, achievable, sustainable approach. She and her husband of 22 years are raising 5 children near Salt Lake City, Utah. You can learn more about her at ordinaryonpurpose.com. But welcome, Michaela. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Hello. I'm excited to see your face today.
Yes, it's been too long. We actually saw each other back in April, and that was such a special time because that was the first time we had met each other, right? Besides Zoom.
I think it was in person. Yeah.
Yes. So we
it
were
didn't
both...
feel like it, I guess.
I know. Yeah. I know. So we were both part of a book launch, and a bunch of the authors got together in Nebraska, and we got to have brunch together and hug each other and just be in the same presence. And that was really, really a special time. But
I'm it was fun. It went fast, I think.
It was so fast. It was like, snap, and it was over. So I wanted to have you back on because you are a returning guest to the Motherhood Metamorphosis. Because one, I love talking to you, and I feel like we have so much in common with having 5 kids. But you have also been going through a transition. And that's what this podcast is about, is talking about transitions we go through in motherhood, whether it's from pregnancy to your first baby, whether it's the transition and transformation you go to when you have multiple children, but also when we're looking at our motherhood life and the transformations we continue to go through as our children grow and as we continue to grow. So I was wondering if you could narrate your story of a recent transition you've gone through and how that has been transforming and growing you as a woman and a mom.
Yeah, sure. I think I'm realizing, as you mentioned, like life is just transition after transition. So I have many that I could speak to, but most recently, I think it's been over a couple of years now because a couple of years ago, my youngest child went to kindergarten. And so suddenly I was not a mom with little children at home. And I had always said, oh, when Lizzie goes to kindergarten, I'm going to go back to work in some capacity. That was always sort of the plan. And then that time came and I didn't go back to work. And then last year I had a senior in high school. So my oldest was a senior in graduating. So I had this quiet days at home with my youngest in kindergarten. And then my oldest was a senior. And now this last summer, he went off to college. And so all my children are just kind of hitting these new stages, and I'm now parenting older kids. I have 3 teenagers. I have one who is really like a young adult. He's 18. He's making a lot of his own decisions about school and things, but yet we still pay for a lot of stuff. I mean, so we're still really involved. So trying to figure out how to parent that while at the same time, like trying to figure out what I'm going to do with myself now. So I think I'd always just been like, well, I'm mostly a mom. Like I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I got to the point where I had backed out of clinic work enough that I felt like a mostly stay-at-home mom, and I was kind of doctoring on the side. But then when that motherhood stage really has changed, it's like, oh, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go back to work? Should I be in clinic? What am I interested in? What do I do with myself? So I think this past couple of years has really been a look at what do I really want to be when I grow up? And I think I'm still sort of in that, but
Yeah,
finding my way
I
out.
think a lot of times I thought, because we have, both of us have a lot of children. We both have five children and a big spread. And I've often thought, okay, what if I had two kids and, then maybe you would have 5 years, 7 years till they both went to school. But we've had like 11, 12 years of really just little kid life and trying to figure out, okay, well, I've still got a little one at home. The kids need me so much in school. And it's like, it stretches on and on to be, and you keep, I feel like I've kept changing. I'm like, where's my passion now? I have my master's degree in literature and writing, and I taught for a while at a university. And people have said, are you going to go back to teaching? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think that's me anymore. And I think for you, because you have your MD, like you went to medical school, you have been a practicing doctor, and that's a lot of schooling. And I'm sure people have said to you, well, what are you have all this school, like what are you gonna do with it? Have you felt that pressure to like, I have this degree, I have to use it?
For sure. It's been interesting because it kind of depends on whose company I'm in a little bit, like what they think about it. Because you can definitely tell what people think, like, oh, you stay home now, or oh, like you're not going to go back. So it sort of depends on where I'm at, but I definitely feel that pressure. And I mean, side note, I still have medical school loans to pay. And so it seems ridiculous to not go back. And yet, what I chose to do instead was I've been working PRN, which means kind of filling in for providers here and there. And I would pick up two or three shifts a month just to kind of keep my foot in the door. I've done that all along. Even with little children, I started PRN when Lizzie was a baby. Up until then, I'd had regular clinic days. And so instead of going back to clinic when she went to school, I quit that job in November after she went back, I think. I quit around like November 1st of last year. And it was like, oh, well, that was the opposite of what the plan was. But it felt really good at the time. So I'm still kind of figuring that out a little bit. What I feel passionate about writing. I love writing. Writing doesn't feel like a job to me. It feels like fun. And I would love to just really call that my full-time job. Because I do spend a lot of time doing that at home, but I have this weird little thing in my brain where I can't really call it a job very easily. I think because no one asked me to do it, you
Right.
know?
Yeah.
So
Or
I
it's what
still.
you didn't go to school for that, or you're not paying like
Yep.
your loans
I have
back for
no
that.
training in that. I just kind of started doing it. And I even have had, you know, I had my first book came out in 2022, and I have another book contract. I have a book that I'm working on, and so I even have people who pay me a little bit to do these things, and yet I don't know why. I just it's something wrong in my brain. I need to flip that little switch a little bit, but I'm working on it.
I think maybe, I don't know, let's explore this idea a little bit about women giving themselves permission to explore their passions. I think that there's this idea of, okay, we're supposed to be, as young women, we're supposed to be empowered, we're supposed to go to school, we're supposed to be educating ourselves, go into the workforce. And then there's this other narrative of motherhood, of you have to pour all of yourself into motherhood, and you have to, just give it your everything, but also work if you are a mom who has this career.
Sure.
But then there's dreams too. There's other things that are part of us, not just the education, not just the motherhood. It's our self, and it's giving ourselves that permission that we, I don't know, maybe we don't do this enough to say you are worth pursuing.
Right. And I think that is something in my, maybe not everybody has that, but something in myself that says if it's worthwhile, then it should make money. Or like you should have something to show for it. And, you know, there should be some goal or some direction or some improvement or something. And I'm really working on that. I don't think I'm there yet. I think I'm a little further along, but to see the value in what I do write and what I do put out there, even just for myself, I think I'm getting there. But I still have that tendency to compare what I make now to what I could be making. Money-wise, and I don't know what it would take to change that. You know, I think it's just that I'll always struggle with a little bit.
Yeah, that when you said if it's worth doing, like you have to make money at it. Oh my gosh, that just hit me in the gut because my husband and I always have this conversation, and he's always reassuring me because I am a stay-at-home parent, and he is the
Yeah.
working parent in our house, and that is what has worked for us because of our military lifestyle. It is just not possible with how much he's gone and with how much we move for me to work outside the home, and
Sure.
I always feel guilty. I feel guilty for not bringing in money. I feel guilty for the things I spend time on that I feel like I should be monetizing. And he's always trying to reassure me that what I do brings value, not only to me, but to other people. And I think maybe every new year I go through this where I'm like, okay, this is the year I really got to get on. I got to get on it. I got to make money. And last year he encouraged me. He said, I want you to look at what people say to you about your writing, what they write in the comments. And that's how you are changing their minds, or how they felt encouraged, or how they felt seen. And that is what I want you to focus on for your value. So I think for the first month, it was last year, I like copied down every single comment that people wrote, and I saved it. And then I like made a word cloud. I don't know, there's like word cloud generators you can find on Google. And I like put all the words in there. And then all these words popped up of like encouraged, seen, loved, or like, I don't know, all these different words that kind of jumped out at me and told me what people were seeing out of the work that I was putting in the world, even if I wasn't necessarily getting paid for it.
Sure.
I think
Why is
that,
it money? Yeah, we just
I
get so hung up on money. So silly.
don't know. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard
I
to let
think,
that go.
yeah, you have been really inspiring to me because I see what you enjoy painting and you make these beautiful, it just that and then the sewing, your little dolls that you have on Etsy and your little things. And I think you certainly can't be making a ton of money doing that, but you do it
No.
for the enjoyment of doing that. And then someone is like, this is adorable. I love this. And isn't that so worthwhile? I can see that for other people. I often don't offer myself the same kindness. And so I'm just working on that a little bit.
I think that is often such a struggle in motherhood because when we find that thing that brings us joy and we don't give ourselves permission to pursue it if it, you know, is taking away from our kid life or our mothering life or our work life. And then we think, whatever I enjoy, I have to make it worthwhile by making money. So I want to let's shift into the things that you found to kind of join those things together. Maybe your education as a doctor and your work as a doctor and the things that you're doing now to kind of bring together the encouragement and the writing. And I'd love to hear what your new passion
Sure.
that you're pursuing.
Well, I have a couple things going on. I'm super excited about them. I have sort of, after the first book, my goal was I really only want the book to do well enough that I feel like I can keep writing, right? And so I've sort of really intentionally taken baby steps along through this writing process. And I don't know what that is. I've been a little bit afraid of the possibility of failure. And so I've set these really low, like I just want to keep writing. That's it. I don't care how much I make or how many books are sold or whatever. And so that's worked pretty well for me. I have a second book coming out in September of this year. And I do think that it's kind of the sweet spot of it's very much stories. For you and me, it's for women who are 40-year-old. We're not young children anymore. We're not quite menopausal. We're kind of in this middle space. So it's particularly to women who are my age. And it's lots of story, my own and patient stories, and maybe just the story I pick up on the soccer sideline with a friend or whatever. I think we come back to a lot of the same issues, just like you and I are talking about. And then sometimes a sprinkling of medical stuff, like, you know what I think it is? I think I have adult ADHD. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. And so I kind of speak to those topics in this book. And so I am able to use my medical background to bring in some sound, current science, that kind of correlate with these stories. And so it really has been a passion project for me, and I think it is marrying the two things that I love, which is women's. I did have mostly women in clinic. I did a fellowship year in women's health, So that's kind of been my passion even when I was in clinic. And then it's kind of what I get to do with my writing many times. What I love is, like you said, the comments or just the little connections that you get to make through just sharing a story and then someone shares it back to you. So I think this might be the sweet spot. I'm enjoying it very much, and I'm really trying to just enjoy each little bit of the process and not get caught up on like, where's this going? How is this going to do? So yeah, I started a new little page on Instagram just days ago that will kind of be what the book is, which has been really fun too. It's called Be Well-ish. And so I have an interest just in health in these bodies that we're living in these lives that we're living in, because I think we're given a lot of ideals, and sometimes we don't live in the ideal. And so how do we find health within like our specific parameters? So that's kind of been a fun project for me too.
Yeah. Can you talk to me about the transition time where you were thinking when you stopped working? Well, how did that feel? And what was your maybe your day-to-day life of trying to figure out what to do next? How did that look for you? And maybe how could that relate to some another woman who is maybe trying to figure out what her next step is in maybe
Yeah.
moving away from her career and trying to look to something new?
I think if we're really good at listening to ourselves and acknowledging the feelings that we have around things, a lot of times we already know what we would like to do, way earlier than we ever do anything about it. Sometimes it's because we don't have we absolutely can't do it at that point. Maybe life circumstances are not such that you can make a big change like that. I really like recognize how privileged I am to be able to say, you know what, I don't want to do that anymore and quit, and I'm going to do this thing instead. So I get that that doesn't apply to everyone, and certainly I'm so grateful to be at a stage in my life and in my marriage where I have the ability to make those choices. But I was just noticing that they would ask me almost every day to work. So that's how the PRN thing goes, is they're like, hey, can you pick up this day? Hey, could you work here? And I was just getting a barrage of texts and emails every day. Could you work? Could you do this one? Could you, what about this? And I felt like I said no the majority of the time, either because I had something with the kids. Amazing when they're all in school, how often they're home. Or you're going to an appointment, or you have something real going on. No one is just sitting around at home eating bonbons that I know of ever anywhere. So, just I was saying no a lot, and when I did say yes, it didn't feel good. I would always feel a little bit like, ugh, okay, I gotta go in. And I don't know if maybe if I'd had a better routine or something, it wouldn't have felt like that. But it just was so disruptive every time because I knew what I really wanted to be doing was working on this other thing over here. And I was a little bit afraid to take that step. So, and then when I actually quit my job, I was driving to pick up the kids from school. So, middle of the afternoon, and like the one of the head guys at work or whatever. It was a really small group, and so you would hear from pretty much everybody in corporate from time to time. So, he sent me a text that just said, "Hey, we didn't get your flu shot documentation or whatever for this fall. Could you send that this way just so we have it on file?" And for some reason, I picked up the phone out of the cup holder, called him on the phone, and said, "Hey, I think I'm ready to have you take me off the schedule." So it was like not planned. I didn't, I just was like, "I'm done." And he's like, "Are you okay? Like, is everything okay?" And I just thought, this has been like a year coming, and I just keep being too afraid to do it. And then the feeling I had was not like, "Oh crap, what did I just do? And why did I do that? And was that a good idea?" It was like this surge of relief. So I do think if you're paying attention, you know what your heart wants and you know what feels good, and You do know the directions that you want to go in. And I wish that I were better at listening to my actual body instead of just, I'm very good at just forging along with what I should be doing instead of what I could be doing or what I'd like to be doing or the direction, that maybe worked better for me.
I really relate to that too. I relate to, just pushing through and, getting caught up in, what you have to do. And even with motherhood, with mothering your kids, doing things the same way you've always been doing it, because, and not stepping back and thinking, this isn't working anymore. And thinking, could I do it a different way? And sometimes you can, and that's exciting and scary. And sometimes you can't, and you have to learn to just, okay, for right now, this is the best situation. But I think even just having the ability to zoom out and look at your life and think, is this working anymore? And having that conversation with yourself can be so life-giving, because sometimes we're so just in it that we don't even have the ability to objectively look at our life and think, okay, this isn't working, or this is working for me anymore. So,
Yeah, and why do I think I have to be doing that? It's, I don't know, we're surrounded by a lot of best practices and the way things should go, and that doesn't apply to everybody necessarily, and or it may not apply to your current season or whatever, and it's okay to deviate from those things if it's working better for you. So that's kind of my new thing is like, well, what about your parameters? What about your life? What about, your situation and kind of drowning out the noise as much as possible?
This is what's working best for me. This is what's working best for my
My
family.
kids. Yeah. I called my husband. I maybe just texted him, I think, when I got to Carline. I was waiting in Carline and was like, hey, just FYI, I quit my job. I'm very grateful that he is quite supportive. And his reply was something like, I'm so glad you finally ripped off that Band-Aid.
That's so good.
was like, why? I don't know. So it did give me a lot of freedom to say, okay, I'm going to pursue this thing over here. And it brings me a lot of joy. And I still, Brittany, I have mornings when I feel really guilty. And I'm like, should I be enjoying myself this much? Should I be, doing this thing over here that I just love so much? Am I allowed that bit of joy? I don't know. If I were someone else, for my friend, if it were you, I would be like, of course. But I'm still working on myself. So.
I remember reading in one of Brené Brown's books about how joy is one of the most vulnerable emotions that we can allow ourselves to feel, because we think something's going to get taken away, or I don't deserve this, or somehow we have to earn it more, that we have to work harder, we have to monetize whatever we're doing to actually deserve to feel happy. And sometimes the thing that brings us the most joy doesn't ever make any money. And then that sometimes it makes a lot less money than we think we should be getting because of our degree or our background. But I think if we are brave enough to step into new realities, like you did, and saying enough is enough, or I want to do something different, then we can change our lives. But it's not easy.
I think for me too, it's fun when you get a little bit further down the line, you can like look back at things and be like, oh yeah, you know what? This makes sense now. Like you've been kind of headed down this path for a little while, right? But the two things, I remember once in residency, there was a particular patient who it was like middle of the night and I was doing my off service note. It was, so when you switch from month to month, you write this big long thing about what's been going on with this patient for the next resident who's coming in so that they kind of get the scoop. And for some reason, after this little kiddo was in the NICU, I like, after I was all done, instead of going to bed, I stayed up and I wrote an essay about him and just about my experience with him and all of that. And I remember thinking, I wouldn't have called myself a writer at the time. I loved to write in my own journal, but I just, was like, what do I do with this? Am I supposed to do something with it? I didn't do anything with it, but I do feel like it's kind of always been there for me a little bit. And then when I took my job out here in Salt Lake, that when I've been there for 10 years in some capacity, some days a week or PRN or whatever for 10 years. And when I interviewed at that job, for some reason on my resume thing, I just wrote something about how, like, my personal statement was about connection and people's stories and what a privilege it feels like to be able to know people on that level and, like, really hear their story. And I remember sitting in this room of men, mostly it was probably 12 or 15 men, but there was a couple women, and one of the women was like, "Why did you write that? Like, that's so interesting that you wrote that down, and that's really cool." And what's funny is she still follows all my stuff. But then when I was interviewing with my publishing house, I'm like, the things I love about practicing medicine and the things I love about writing are actually the very same thing, which is so interesting to me because it really is people's stories and their real lives and their real experiences and the connections that we get to have and kind of walk along together. So I do feel like this next book and kind of the direction I'm hoping to go really brings those two things together. So I'm pretty excited about it.
I love that. I love hearing about how I think the integration of your passions from many different avenues of life can just tell you who you are, you know? And just hearing about, like what you said, the thing you loved about medicine and the thing you love about writing are the same thing. And what I've thought about, do I want to go back to teaching? The thing I loved most about teaching was my mentoring relationships that I had with my mom, specific girls that came out of my classes or any student, and just the connections I can make with them. It wasn't grading, that was like my least favorite thing, just the slodge. It wasn't, I did love actually lecturing and teaching, but I just hated the tedious bits, and that's what I don't want to go back to. But when I think about making connections with people, teaching them how to tell their stories, which is what I did when I was teaching about writing, I'm like, that's what gets me excited. And then I think about my own writing and then the different avenues I've taken after I stopped working, which was a long time ago for me. That was about 9 years ago, I think it was this year, because when my son was diagnosed with autism, I had one semester where I had four little kids, eight and under. I was working, I was teaching online and in person, and I was taking my son to therapy 4 times a week.
Oh my
And
goodness.
I completely like burned out, and I was like, I just have to stop. And that I haven't, and the goal was always to go back to work. It was just a break. But you know, 8, 9 years later, it's been the big transition, and it wasn't the little transition. So I think rediscovering, or you know, you said when you look back, you can see more perspective. And sometimes looking back can bring grief, but sometimes it can also bring clarity and light to see where your path is taking you, even though it wasn't what you expected or what you thought it would be when it turned out. So I know
I think
that's
it's
true for me.
like I think it's a little bit of both. I still have a little bit of grief sometimes that I'm not doing what I set out to do. And it's really only in particular circumstances. You know, I remember having that once. I went to eat with Dan. My husband works at the hospital, and I met him and we ate lunch, and there was a bunch of, like, residents in there and just kind of like a group of people who had finished rounds and were eating. And I had this bit of sadness, like, I'm not doing that. That's so strange because I thought that I would do that and thought I would kind of be in teaching or something some way. I loved having residents when I was out in practice. But I mean, it was a fleeting bit of, I think, sadness. But I was actually very happy to go get in my car and go home too. So I was like, I think it's both. I think we're allowed to kind of think, oh, this isn't how I thought it would go. This is really fun too. And, you know, I have a lot of joy here too.
So I feel that way. That happens a lot, you know, in motherhood so much, because maybe we have our first baby and we go out with single friends and we see their life and their freedom and we think we have that sadness, you know? And then we get back in the car and we go home and we snuggle our baby and we think, oh, this is like right where I need to be. Or in the transition of, oh, I have a senior in high school, and you feel the sadness of, wow, it's we've gone through the school years like they're about to launch, or when your youngest starts kindergarten, because my youngest is starting kindergarten this upcoming year, and that's a transition of like feeling all the things and realizing it's okay. It's okay to feel the both and. So as we wrap up our time, I have, and I love, I don't know, I'm just thankful that we could talk about these things. I'm just thankful we can have these kind of conversations, because sometimes I think they live in our heads, and then we don't ever talk to them with another woman and realize, hey, we're all experiencing the same things and we're not alone. So I think these kind of conversations are so important for that reason. So thank you so much
Agreed. Sure.
for talking to me about these things. So to wrap up our time, I have a question that I'd like to end with. What's one thing you're doing to enjoy your life this week?
Well, I have really been working on just being active. I'll try not to make this a long story. So I'm just going to say I sprained my ankle in July. Coming off of a water slide. It was like a weird freak thing, and I really, really hurt myself. And I was limping and limping and limping, and I couldn't get back to regular activity. And so I have been really diligent about just walking, nothing more, and going to physical therapy. And I've realized how much I enjoy just going out for a walk. I pretty much go every day, somewhere between 2 and 3 miles. And this is the time when I maybe listen to music or I'm maybe a little bit quiet, and just kind of notice my surroundings. A lot of times I talk on the phone, and just continuing to do that saves me, I think, every day. I will say that I graduated from physical therapy yesterday.
Yay! Yay!
I think you can go back to whatever activity you want.
Thank goodness.
It's a grueling number of months, but
That is a long recovery. I'm glad you're back. You need a gold star. You'd be like, I
it
graduated
felt like it. It
from
felt
physical
like it.
therapy.
Yeah. So I think walking is something I'm doing all the time, and it really does
I love that.
bring me a lot of joy.
Yeah. So where can we find you, Michaela, on social media? Where can we find your book? And you said your new book is coming out in September. Can you tell us just the short version and the title of that book?
So you can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Ordinary on Purpose. My website is ordinaryonpurpose.com. I also started the new Instagram site, which you can find from Ordinary on Purpose, called Be Wellish, where I'm mostly going to talk to women, and I'm mostly going to talk about women's health. I'm not going to talk so much about motherhood. I'm not going to share pictures of my kids and things like that. So you maybe either one of those. If it works for people, I'd love to have you. My first book is called Ordinary on Purpose. You can find it really anywhere books are sold. It's always 30% off over at Baker Bookhouse, which makes it about $12. And then the new book is called Everything I Wish I Could Tell You About Midlife.
Oh, I love that.
And it's about women's health and these bodies that we actually have. So, I'm very excited about that and about getting to share that with other women.
I can't wait to read it and share it too, because I know I'm gonna love it. I loved your first book. I love your social media pages, and I love that you came on today. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Motherhood Metamorphosis. I hoped you enjoyed this conversation and it gave you some good food for thought. If you haven't ever done so, could you hop over to Apple Podcasts on your phone, scroll down, and leave a review? Leaving a review really, really helps boost the podcast visibility in Apple Podcasts, and it encourages me to keep going. It also helps other people find the show, and if you're like me and you are looking for a new podcast, you read reviews and you figure out, hey, is this something that I want to spend my time on? So leaving a review really helps in all those ways. Next, if you'd like to support the podcast financially, I'd encourage you to go to Buy Me a Coffee. You can find the link in the show notes or on the Facebook page, the Motherhood Metamorphosis Podcast. And you can leave a small donation. These help cover the monthly costs and also help cover my time for producing this. There's also some really fun freebies in the shop on Buy Me a Coffee, some art that I've created, and some mental health resources for kids that I would like to share with you. There's also the opportunity to talk with me if you'd like to schedule a virtual coffee and chat. I would love to hear your story, to listen, to hear you, and to give you encouragement in your motherhood journey. Thank you so much for listening today, and I hope you join us next time.
Hi. Are you going to say hello?
Hi.
Say hi, Miss Akilah.
Hi, Miss Akilah.
How are you?
Yes.
You've gotten so big.
No, she is.
You probably don't remember, but I've seen you before on one of these meetings.
Yes. Oh, now the dog is here too. We have the puppy and Grace. All right, do you know what? We're actually finishing up pretty soon, so can you go out?
But Mom, I love you.
I love you too, sweetheart.
Aww.
Can you take Hope with you?